RunAsRadio.com. You're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 173 with guest Doug Fink. Recorded Monday, August 9th, 2010. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow the boys on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell. You're listening to Run As Radio, and with me, my co-host, Greg Hughes.
Hey, Richard. How are you?
I'm well, sir. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Doing okay.
And the summer is good?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's been an interesting summer. We had some hot days and then some kind of in-between days, and looks like it's going to heat back up again. Kind of a late summer.
There you go. Moving around. Have you been flying much?
Yeah, actually, well, not as much as I did last year at this time, but I'm still flying quite a bit.
It's cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
You're going to like this show. This is a fun technology. With me on the line today is Doug Fink. He's a PowerShell MVP working for Lab 49 at www.lab49.com, a company that builds advanced applications for the financial services industry. Over the last 20 years, Doug has been a developer and author working with numerous technologies. You can catch up with Doug at his blog, Development in a Blink, at www.dougfinke.com/blog. Welcome, Doug.
Hey, Doug. Thank you. Hello.
Big PowerShell fan over here. I mean, it's one of my favorite technologies, but you've been up to some weird stuff here. The OData PowerShell Explorer.
Yes. I'm also a big PowerShell fan as well.
Well, you are a PowerShell MVP, so that's about as most legitimate for a fan as you can possibly get.
Cool. So, yep. So I decided I was playing around with a little bit of OData, and I thought it would be a good marriage between it and PowerShell.
So for the folks who aren't familiar with OData, maybe you could give us your quick recap of it.
Sure. I can go down a little bit on it. I would definitely suggest looking at Chris Sell's article. It's OData by Example, up, I think, on MSDN. Mm-hmm. OData is a open data protocol that uses AtomPub and XML and JSON to surface information over, let's say, databases is one way that it can be done.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of technology has been around for a long time. We've seen it with ADO.NET and older technologies, how you can access data inside of these relational data stores. So what Microsoft has come up with is a way that you can actually, through a RESTful interface, which means you can go up to your web browser and you can type in a URL. You can then figure out what collections are behind this service. And then you can begin to drill down in those services by just typing in the names of the collections. If you want to get to a specific entry, you can put it in parentheses and say 36 of like people, and you can get that person's information. You can see it come back, let's say, in an AtomPub XML format, and then begin to look at the hrefs inside, and then further navigate through the change of data in the database. So
it's a very HTTP compatible way to explore data.
Absolutely, it's designed for the web.
Right.
And on from the Microsoft stack, it's really quite simple to point the entity framework at your SQL server and generate this information, and then put a WCF OData service on top of it. It takes a little bit of doing, maybe 15 lines of code, and you have a data service up and running. That you can tap into any which way you'd like to. Kind of nice.
Including PowerShell. Cool.
Exactly. So with the PowerShell, I looked at it and I said, well, PowerShell is really good to tap into the web because you can get to the .NET framework, to the net.web client namespace.
Right.
And you can do things like, you can do puts and posts, which is what OData can respond to, but you can also do things like download string.
Mm-hmm.
So using that, plus the fact that PowerShell is amazing at slicing and dicing XML, I decided to put these two things together.
And I also got to think that writing the code by hand to pull an OData feed is not that simple. It's a lot of little bits and niggling details.
Yes, and getting your head around the recursive nature of it is kind of interesting. On top of that, I think the OData PowerShell Explorer is also quite interesting to look at it from. I'm actually generating the code on the fly. So I'm doing code generation as you're driving through the OData experience.
Nice.
And that's similar to what, you know, I initially looked at the Silverlight OData Explorer. Mm-hmm. I didn't look at the code, but I saw how it worked and I said, okay, I can probably do this in PowerShell. So I got some of the ideas from some of the explorers that are already out there and decided, you know, why not do something at the command line? In my mind, I can see myself going up against a bunch of OData feeds that I would have, and I would want to pull down and automate pulling down a bunch of information from these different OData feeds and then merging and mashing them together and then exporting them back out into a SQL Server table or into, you know, CSV file formats or looking at it in Excel from a different perspective.
Yeah, I'm thinking about this from the perspective of the IT pro. This would be an alternative way to doing some ETL.
Bingo.
But I could also see interesting queries around, hey, fetch this data, combine it with this AD information to, you know, figure out who's accessing this service or using that report, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
That kind of heterogeneous joining is brilliant. And a real, you know, how many times have we dumped that in a spreadsheet, dumped that in a spreadsheet, and then try to sort it out?
Exactly right.
So just being able to write a script that would do
that. The layer of PowerShell on top of that to be able to do those heterogeneous queries and then blend that back into, I'll throw out the word PS objects. Really talk to the Martin Fowler unit of work concept. The PS object inside of PowerShell is the unit of work. And once you start putting these together, you almost have an object graph kind of capability at that point. So it gets really, really interesting and it becomes a lot of fun to program and it becomes really easy.
Curious about maybe some practical applications. What are some of the cool things that people have done with this that you're aware of?
Great question. Off the top of my head, I haven't seen applications of it. I've seen more surfacing data silos into the world. So Microsoft has the Dallas project, mm-hmm. which I believe is hosted in Azure, and they have gotten people like NASA to put their data up there, and the Open Government Data Initiative is using OData to put data out there. So one of the things I have in my demo is I can go up to the I believe the Canadian site, and I can pull down things about crime statistics, parking lots, banking locations, information they have in internal that they've put in OData feed on top of, and I'm able to navigate and drill down on all kinds of information. Netflix is another one, which is one of the examples in the OData PowerShell Explorer. You can click on the Netflix piece, and you can say, show me all the people. You can click on a person like Bud Abbott, and you can say, show the titles that they acted in. You can see all the different movies he's done. You can then begin to click and drill down on that and find out who else acted in it, what awards they might have won, things like that. And if you really look at the code underneath, the OData PowerShell Explorer is maybe 100 lines that support the actual interaction with any OData feed, and then there's a GUI written in WPK, which is WPF for PowerShell. That's maybe another 100 lines that actually manages the GUI. So in a couple hundred lines, you're really driving through some very interesting pieces. But I don't know that of other applications out there outside of these browsers, these types of explorers that people are utilizing it for. Not yet.
Well, and looking at the Dallas data set, so that's now Microsoft Pinpoint, right? Pinpoint.microsoft.com. There's some huge data here. They InfoUSA, new and out of business and historical business data. So this is just the sort of thing you'd want to build into an app. And the fact that you could do this in PowerShell in the back end to just keep pumping in. Here are new businesses that started up. They might be potential leads for sales. Or more relevantly, here are businesses that are legally shut down. Are we still owed money by that company?
There you go.
You know, that's kind of cool that we can start picking up these pieces and bringing that data into our apps.
Absolutely. And with the OData PowerShell Explorer piece, getting into a little bit of the details, you could actually walk up to that site, for example, like Netflix. You can say $ Netflix is equal to new-OData service space the HTTP name of that OData feed.
Mm-hmm.
Dollar Netflix is now ready to go. And if you say Dollar Netflix, you can actually then say get. I have a thing on there called .get operations, and you can see everything you can begin to query. So you can then say $netflix.people, and it'll show you all the people that are in their database for the movies that they were in. And then you can just begin to start drilling down from there at the command line level. So yeah, you can whip up scripts in PowerShell to hit these sites, pull out the information you were just talking about. I think there was one building permits in the Vancouver one I think I was looking at.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at all the different coding permits and building permits that they're giving out and which ones have been completed and which ones haven't. All in a matter of maybe 10, 15 lines of code, if that much. Pulling it down, preparing it, putting it into another database, shipping it over a WCF connection, whatever you'd like to do.
So it strikes me there's really two pieces here. You've got the Explorer part, which is sort of the GUI, but there's plumbing for the scripting level. So does the GUI just writes the scripts for you?
Great question. Stealing my thunder. I love it. The answer is no, not yet.
Ah, okay.
So
I know what the next version is doing.
Exactly right. One of the things that's really cool about PowerShell, if you look at Microsoft Exchange right now,
mm-hmm.
their entire admin part of Exchange is all based on PowerShell.
Yeah, IIS too.
Exactly.
Right.
And when you walk up to Exchange, you can actually say, you know, I want to go to this person's mailbox, set this quota, blah, blah, blah. But it will actually generate a PowerShell script for you.
Right.
And then you can say, okay, take that, run it across my farm, and I want to do it for all my users in this Exchange server. So that was one of the things I was thinking of with this OData Explorer. Let me write a piece that works at the command line, then layer a GUI on top of it, and then the next step is as you're clicking through, it will capture and generate a PowerShell script that'll do it for you that you can then squirrel away and use whenever you want it to in an automation fashion.
Cool.
But that's not there yet.
Well, and now it regardless of the external OData services, the fact that we can expose our internal services this way means really, we're avoiding writing a lot of code.
Absolutely. And at the end of the day, I'm a lazy programmer.
Right.
And I would like to stay away from that plumbing. It's error prone. It's boilerplate. And now I can sit back and say, well, I just know how my database is laid out. I can put an OData feed on it, walk up to PowerShell, and I am now doing business intelligence using these kind of tools.
Sure.
I can build it fairly quickly and test it using the browser, then kick out the script and know that it does what I need it to do in the future.
Exactly right. That too. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I guess we got to keep going on this because there's a bunch of other OData related work you've done as well. Is this the only tool?
Well, I started initially, I saw OData at the PDC,
mm-hmm.
I saw Dallas, and then I saw Netflix came out. I decided to knock up another quick little application that was specifically around Netflix. So you can actually download that from my blog. And it gets into some interesting pieces of OData as well. It really is designed specifically to work over Netflix. So you can actually get a list of titles. And then as you click on those titles, I believe it is, I will actually then go back out to the website that it's connected to, and I can show you the cover of the box of all kinds of information as if I'm just connecting to their website as you go through the link of the OData feed.
Right.
And up on top, you can actually then use OData commands. OData comes with a mini language. There's something called a dollar filter. And what that allows you to do is you can express things like name, space, EQ, single quote, but Abbott quote. Or release year is less than 2010, things like that. And that's what that PowerShell example on Netflix does as well. So you can actually then begin to play with some of the dollar filter capabilities that is built into OData. And there's a ton of them. There's things like you can say, get me all these records, but skip the first 20, the first 100. You can say, get the top 15. You can say dollar expand, to do all kinds of work on the data that's getting returned. So you can kind of think about those in terms of like SQL queries. You want to have some of that stuff happen on the server. You don't want to retrieve 1,000 entries and then start doing your subsetting.
Yes.
You can use the OData piece to do that for you and get back your 10 records.
Yeah, so only haul back what you actually need.
Exactly. So those were some of the other pieces that you can build. And again, you know, you just crack open some of this PowerShell stuff. It interacts with the web. It manages XML and you're off to the races.
And there's some subtle tricks too. You mentioned this in another blog post around comparing Ruby to PowerShell. PowerShell can be very terse when you're using this variable succession assignments.
Okay.
I was just surprised that you showed an example from Rob Connery's blog of 10 lines of Ruby code that you replaced with 3 lines of PowerShell.
Yes. When you do talk about PowerShell, it's as programmable as like Python, Ruby, and Bash.
Right.
So there's a lot of tricks that the dynamic world is doing that you can do exactly in PowerShell. And that's one of them. So you can actually say, if you take a, let's say you have a key value pair, like A is equal to B, right?
Right.
Typically, I'd want to do a split on that, right? I want to separate out the key and value pair. So I can actually say, in a string, quote, A equal B, close quote, dot, the .NET split operator,
yep.
Or the method, dot split, parentheses, open quote, close quote, an equal sign in there. But on the left-hand side, I can actually say dollar key comma dollar value is equal to that. And PowerShell will say, oh, okay, I got 2 pieces of information back from there, and now I'm gonna set up dollar key and dollar value for you, no problem. You don't have to have multiple lines of code to get that accomplished. So when you're looking at that, at least from a programmatic perspective, you don't have all this noise going on. You're not doing, and you can do 2 variables. If you had like a comma separated value file, you might have like 15 different values separated by commas.
Sure.
You can do the same thing, dot split on the comma, and put all your 15 variable names on the left-hand side, and then PowerShell magically takes care of that for you. So you're being a lazy coder, you're back to a lot less coding. Very readable stuff.
And very terse.
Exactly.
But it is more in the way that you would actually think about that value, that it's, yeah, here are the 15 parameters that I'm pulling from this. Just map them all for me, please.
You speak like you've, Jeffrey Snover says that a lot, the creator of PowerShell.
Yeah.
PowerShell is about think, type, get.
Yeah.
And that's another example of what you think about it, you type what you want, and you get back exactly what you think, where you're going. So it's kind of, it's very fast to get things done.
No kidding. What about that OData browser for the iPhone? Are you involved with that?
No, I was just talking about that. That just came across my radar. I'm not involved with that.
Oh, okay.
You get that up on GitHub.
But that's a way to actually do OData browsing off the iPhone.
Exactly. And if you think about, if you read up a little bit about OData, Microsoft is looking to make sure that they provide mechanisms or guidance for every platform out there that can tie into it.
Sure.
In fact, somebody just tweeted this morning, somebody just came up with a helper function that you can use OData feeds in Web Matrix, the new stuff that Microsoft
has done. Right, the new web development environment.
Exactly. And that really speaks to the power of OData, right? The fact that you can get stuff back in XML format or you can get it back in JSON format. It's across the web, it's a REST interface, and you can parse this stuff pretty readily. All platforms can really take advantage of it.
Is there a security angle around all of this, though? I guess if I want to expose OData internally, that's fine, but it's when you get into external exposure that you've got to sort of think about, what do I want to show, what don't I want to show?
Good question. I know from a Microsoft, there's 2 answers to that at the moment, and I'm not an expert in the OData field. On the WCF OData service side, you can actually, in a few lines of code, you can say very simply what feed, what collections, and what information is available outside that WCF piece.
Right.
It's at a very coarse level. I can say, I can show people, but don't show salaries. You know what I mean?
Right.
Those happen to be 2 separate tables. But I do believe on the odata.org site, the guys out of Microsoft that are supporting that, they're looking at connecting an OAuth into this whole thing. So I believe that's the next step. Of course, you got to secure this kind of information. I don't know the status of where it is now, but I know that next piece is under discussion on the mailing list.
Sure. Yeah, that too will come. But I'm fascinated at this prospect of inside of my organization, I could have all the silos of data exposed in a way where we've got a lot of coding choices on how we can pull against it, including PowerShell.
Exactly.
So
and it's at, and like you're saying, it's at the level of a SQL server, so you can actually, you will authenticate through the WCF side using your login,
mm-hmm.
and whoever's enabled in the login at the SQL server side, you either can see that data or you can't. So they've done a nice job of making that even more simple. And yes, there's more work that needs to get done.
Yeah. Still progressing.
Yes.
For an IT person that maybe isn't super focused on data or real familiar with how to grab data and to do what we're talking about here. You know, we have SQL Server, whether it's Microsoft SQL Server, but a lot of organizations have, you know, Oracle or MySQL or lots of other databases. So are there options to be able to do this same stuff across lots of different platforms, and where that is available, what do I need to know in order to take advantage of leveraging OData as a way to punch through data?
I don't know. I believe that the entity frame, I'm only familiar with this stuff through the entity framework inside of the Microsoft stack. But if on the OData site, we can get around that. I can look that up, maybe blog about it later. I do believe there are pieces for PHP. And again, if I'm going against MySQL, if I have it inside in house, I should be able to point my EF ORM to it and then be able to, as a developer, surface that as an OData feed. And I believe there's a bunch of, I've seen them up on CodePlex as well as GitHub, a bunch of different pieces that can, PHP and those types of systems can actually support reading these OData feeds without having to go down through this complexity. So there's similar layers available. The same thing that what we just talked about with iPhone. Some people did it, I believe it's in Objective-C. Did all the plumbing work so that you could talk to an OData feed, managing the JSON XML, so you can just interact with it through Objective-C. And again, Microsoft's intention is to make sure that this thing has libraries for every possible platform out there, and it's still in progress. But the OData.org site really has the most up-to-date information on that.
Yeah, looking at OData.org, I can see under producers that SharePoint, SQL Azure, Reporting Services, and IBM WebSphere.
WebSphere, yes.
On the list, which is interesting. So, I mean, in theory, there's no reason you couldn't write. This is where you get your developers involved to put an OData wrapper over top of an Oracle database.
Exactly.
Because once it's exposed that way, you can do what you want with it. But it's just going to get that initial exposure done.
And again, EF, the entity framework, should work with any kind of ADO type piece or OLADB piece. So, mm-hmm. You know. Pointing it at an Oracle or MySQL should be pretty straightforward, I believe.
Yeah, it should be uneventful.
Exactly.
Should being the operative word. There's always little challenges.
It ought to be. Devil's in the details.
Yeah, there is little details in here. This is like the next generation of ODBC.
Exactly. And if you read Chris Sell's paper, mm-hmm. That's exactly how he talks to it.
Yeah, this is just a new way to expose this data that we can use for all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
So any other favorite PowerShell tricks? What are you doing with PowerShell these days?
I like to stay in PowerShell as much as possible. Jeffrey Snover says it best, you know, PowerShell gets us to 1970.
Nice.
And there's a lot of work to be done. Anytime I come across any kind of website or internal process or some new .NET DLLs that come out, my first inclination is to jump on it and wrap it in PowerShell so I can then watch it light up for the rest of my processes,
right?
So I can, all my scripts then can work on it. I can throw it into GUIs and so on. I think the WPF piece, there's two pieces out there. Microsoft's PowerShell pack, mm-hmm. which they delivered, has a WPK piece, which is like TickleTK. It's a hat tip to it. And you can write GUIs inside of, at the command line in PowerShell. There's another one called PowerBoots by Joel Bennett in the community. These two frameworks that sit on top of your WPF will let you build really cool GUIs, and they're all based in PowerShell. So the amount of code that you write is far less, and you can get some really cool animations going, and you can get some really slick GUIs cooking. And again, it ties right into PowerShell, so you can do lots of different ways to hook up your data to all different kinds of information and data sources, and then really, you know, leverage the power of what PowerShell can do for you.
Wow. Because so, I always think of PowerShell as the command line tool, and that GUIs are sort of the crutch when you're not that comfortable in PowerShell.
Interesting. Taking it back, I mean, PowerShell is an automation platform, and it surfaces in two ways, as a scripting language and as a command line. And to be able to inject GUIs into the process of what you're doing, it opens up new ways of working with information and working with your daily tasks. So I agree with what you're saying. You know, the GUIs are kind of like for when you're a beginner and you want to find how you're navigating and then ultimately go to expert mode at the command line.
Yeah.
I think there's a new way coming out as well that you can, there are times that you want to throw a GUI in there when, for example, if you've got a collection of data, maybe sometimes what you want to do is you want to pipe it across PowerShell's pipeline, throw up a GUI so I can say, oh, this is what's in the pipeline. Let me select A, B, C, and D, and then let it click OK, and then let it go down the rest of the pipeline to do operations on it. It opens up different ways of interacting with this kind of stuff. And Lee Holmes has some pretty cool stuff in his PowerShell cookbook that show how to do that. And when you put that in front of a user, it and give them that opportunity, they can sit there at the command line, you know, give me this data, select this, do a where clause, do a where object on it, filter out some more information, and then they might get a whole big listing at their screen. Well, why not just pipe it to select graphical object? And then it becomes a big checklist that you, I want this one, this one, this one. It could be a way that you could say, I want to run across my 50 machines. Well, maybe not all of them today, but throw me up this GUI with that list, and I want machine 1, 15, and 20. Okay. Go ahead and do a restart on those. So it's a cool concept that we're looking to try to leverage that and, with some bunch of solutions.
And there is cases where GUIs make more sense, like individual selection of items from a large list is a heck of a lot easier in a GUI than it is from a command line.
Exactly right.
Yeah. And of course, there's the visualization elements. You have lots of stuff on your blog talking about different visualization tools you call from PowerShell.
Yes, definitely playing in that whole space. Again, it comes back to the unit of work. You can go out and grab lots of really cool information. Simply set that up in a PowerShell set of a, you know, array of PS objects. And then Microsoft Research has a bunch of cool tools, one of them being Node Excel, where you can then say, you can graph it. So it's almost like going up to Facebook and saying, you know, I want to see graphically who are my friends with and who are my friends of friends up with. And you, there's lots of different relationships that you, I work with. That you want to see that graphically so I can see where's everything clustering. Chad Miller actually just recently blogged, took one of those pieces I wrote, and he just did one for SQL Server to do, I think, to look at the relationships of his stored procedures. So he can actually sit there and go use PowerShell, go up to a SQL Server database, pull a bunch of information out of it about his stored procedures, I believe, and then throw it into this graphing format with PS objects and then just launch the tool and then start to see how things relate.
Dependency trees on stored procedures.
You got it.
That's far out.
I mean, yes, and he did a great job with that. And again, when you look at it, it's you put a few things together, and then you're working with three or four lines of PowerShell to make this happen. And in fact, the last one we're looking at there is using Visual Studio 2010. They have an architecture explorer built into the tool, and in fact, it's one of the tools I used about 2-3 years ago from Microsoft Research has now found its way into the Visual Studio 2010 product to show these visualizations. So now we're marrying PowerShell to pull various amounts of data and then throwing it into this graphical view that then you can then further drill down on this information. So he can now drill down on his stored procedure dependency objects depending on how he sets it up. And that's free because it's part of what the Visual Studio tool does.
Yeah, it's built into Studio.
Exactly. And so now you can go out to, again, if you go out to these OData feeds, you can pull out a bunch of different relationships and then toss them in, into a next PowerShell script, which does the graphing. And then you can look at them in Studio and go, oh, well, what's going on here? Let me grab these this chunk of clusters and move it over here, colorize them this way, and then do all kinds of neat stuff to help you understand your information.
Fascinating stuff. And it's funny how PowerShell's underpinning so much of this.
Well, because you're sitting that back to that Ruby example, because you can be so terse with this language, and because it hooks up into everything that's Microsoft, because it's based on .NET, you have a wide range of getting things done. And this new feature of being able to pipe objects across the pipeline, you know, Unix is great, and the concepts that came out of there were fantastic, but when you start piping text, you know, you've got a lot more work to do to say, you know, count over 7 white spaces, jump over a tab.
Right.
When I'm dealing with objects across the pipeline, I'm done.
Yes.
Right? I'm just saying, give me that property, do this, do this, do this.
Now, you don't want to decompose those objects into streams of strings like that. It's better to keep them as the object.
Exactly. Makes life. You get things done very quickly.
Yeah, a lot more manageable. So yeah, sort of the next generation Unix mindset there with the ability to pipe. I'm wondering if we're going to see more developers being pushed to do this model of the GUI that most people see is simply a wrapper over top of a set of PowerShell structures that they can use.
There, you know, when PowerShell version 1 going towards version 2 was out there, they did show a bunch of examples how to use PowerShell in the MMC, mm-hmm. The management console. And a lot of talk went around, you know, layering admin GUIs over PowerShell so that the admin could actually, you know, do the, how do I learn what I'm working with? Okay, and I had to do it. Now I can do it all at the command line.
Right.
I see lots of potential there for PowerShell being embedded in applications for exactly that reason. For UI extensibility, for extending your applications, you can then walk up to your user and say, hey, let me just put a little script together for you. You build a mechanism in your .NET program, and then you can just say, okay, where are all the scripts? And then that's, you can pass your object model from your .NET program, WPF or whatever it is, into PowerShell so that the person can then operate on it at the scripting level, and it extends your application that way. So there's a lot of ways that you could layer these things on top of PowerShell and take advantage of it. They used to do this back in, again, TickleTK did it, Qt did it with Python. So these are not new ideas. It's really, you know, bringing it to the Microsoft platform and then integrating it with the object pipeline and integrating it with the .NET, CLR, rest of Microsoft framework, which is really kind of bringing this to life.
And OData is just another way to do that kind of exposure. I may not want to implement the whole app against PowerShell, but if I expose the data sets from OData, then I can use PowerShell against that app without making significant changes to the app.
Makes total sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can't do as many things as you could do against PowerShell, but you get sort of that core ability to at least fetch data and even push things back up.
Exactly. Shortcutting your work and, you know, again, using the right tool in the right place. Mm-hmm. And then you just plug and play what you need. And that's the funny thing about OData, I thought, too. I was like, when I sat back and kind of finished up the app, I was thinking, it's pretty amazing that, you know, PowerShell began its life in like 2002. Mm-hmm. And here we are in 2010, and it dovetails so nicely with what OData is doing. And I'm trying to figure out how did they figure that out? You know, how is it so seamless?
Yeah, how did that happen? Where was that smart guy? Who thought of that?
Exactly. In fact, I actually tweeted some of that out into the world, and I don't know if you know Doug Purdy.
Yeah, yes.
And he didn't answer me, but he retweeted me. Yeah. He retweeted that, but I never got an answer. There's something about this functional dynamic language capability over recursive data that just makes this happen.
Yeah, it makes it very interesting and a heck of a lot easier than the old XML markups for this. Like this, we've tried this a number of different times, and they were way harder to do. It seems like we've got a good mix right now.
Absolutely correct.
Doug, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for inviting me. I appreciate
it. Thanks, Doug.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.